Welcome to Career Tools, our third session with the Manager Tools Work Management Spreadsheet, affectionately known as the Cypress Cast around here. Here we go.
Folks, we've been creating management and career guidance for nearly 15 years. We've been talking about working and managing remotely since 2005, and I know most of you don't think that the internet existed then, but it did. But if you're new to working remotely, you can get all of our working from home guidance by going to our website, www.manager-tools.com. On the front page, we have some COVID-19 information. One of them says working during COVID-19, and there you will find our working from home guidance. As well as listening for yourself, please forward that link to everybody you know. Not because we need the marketing, though it's well known that we suck at marketing, but because we want to help as many people as possible. And we know that working remotely is one of the really tough things that we're all trying to do right now.
Okay, Wendy, we're still going. Long, incredibly long cast. We apologize, folks. If we could do this in 30 minutes, we would. Wendy, bring us up to date.
So in the first cast, we talked about why we use the spreadsheet, what the advantages are, what the disadvantages are, examples of when you might use it and when you might not use it. In the second part, we started to set up the shell of the spreadsheet. So the pieces that go in the columns and the rows that describe the data that's going to end up in the spreadsheet. And in this last section, we're going to do one more piece of admin, and then we're going to put the formulas in so that all of the dates are calculated for each of the tasks, and we get the red, green, and amber.
Yeah, so this is sort of the gritty part. It's not really the fun part, but it's the magic of the spreadsheet.
This is where right? The magic lives. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so what we're going to do now then is we're going to insert the logic. We've got all the components, right? And we're basically going to calculate due dates, all that sort of stuff. We're going to actually try to describe that verbally.
Mm-hmm. We're going right? to try.
Yeah. Now, licensees also have access to a version of the spreadsheet that's live, right? That has the formulas in it.
Yes. Yeah, so they can download a version and then just start putting their own data in. It's all been calculated for them. And if you're not a licensee, there is an image that we've put on the website that will help you understand where what we're talking about, give you a bit of once you've got it, you know, the visual helps always. So the visual will help you fit the words together.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. So at a high level, we're going to start with column E, which is our template column, which can be a little confusing, but we learned the hard way when we first started doing this. You actually learned it, the template column is really necessary.
It is. So this is the last of the administration columns. So we had the task number, we had the offset, which is to do with the due date, we had who's going to do the task, and then we had the task descriptions. And so those are all admin columns. And then this is the last admin column, the template column. And initially what we use this for is to check the math and the conditional formatting and make sure that it's working properly before we add a whole bunch of data and then ruin our data. And if you're only using the spreadsheet for one project, you might think, oh, I don't need to do this because I'm only going to have one column. It'll be fine. But yeah, I've learned the hard way. Always have a template column so that you can mess stuff
up.
Yeah,
if you have a template column and you find an error, you can change the template column. And on your project will be fixed. And if you have multiple projects, all of them will be fixed.
Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah, anytime you're dealing with a column that is a project, even if you only have one, if you start messing with that column, you're essentially addressing, let's say, logic. But actually, you're affecting the value of the spreadsheet to begin with, which is what do people see and what will help them do? I mean, we have to keep in mind, folks, the whole point of this thing is we get down 30,000 feet below the surface of the ocean here to describe how it's made. The whole point of this is you can open up this spreadsheet and you can look at either one project with 200 tasks that you've laid out with given deadlines, or 100 projects with 100 tasks, which would be 100 tasks each, which would be then 10,000 tasks, you can look and immediately know what's already done, what's coming up, and what's not done and past due. And if you don't have a template column and you start messing with the logic in a particular cell, in a particular column, you're not going to get that thing to flow through. And as a general rule, the logic applies to all iterations of your projects. Good. Okay. So I'm sorry. I keep interrupting with high level stuff because I'm not a detailed guy.
That's okay. So, and the other reason for a template column is when you use this spreadsheet for multiple similar projects, the template column, you just copy and paste it to a new column. And that's the start of your new project. And all exactly. of the math and all of the conditional formatting is already in there. You don't need to do any more work.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So you said it's going to be in column E.
Yes. The template will be in column E. And once we've finished with this column and we've done all the math, this column will contain all of the task due dates. And because we know that they're going to be dates, what we want to do first is tell the spreadsheet that all of the math we're going to do, the output should be a date. So we want to tell it, give me a number, but the number should be formatted like a date. So in order to do this, you can just highlight the whole of column E. And in Excel, you choose format cells date. And in Google Sheets, you do format number date. And you can just do the whole column. The header data won't be affected because it's not numbers.
So, okay, that's interesting. I was about to ask that because the top in you say this is column E. Cell E1 is the word template. So you can always find your template so you know what your maths are. And yet you're saying if you format it, this is probably child's play for people who are Excel wizards. You're saying if I format it for date, it will ignore the word template?
Yes.
If I format the whole column that way?
Yes. As long as it's not a number.
Oh, I see. So you're saying that when you tell it number formatting, that it knows if it's a number, give me a date, but if it's not a number, don't.
Exactly.
Don't fuss with it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, right. It's exactly. It's quite smart. We've got a recommendation.
Apparently smarter than me. Which is fine.
Me too. We've got a recommendation on the date format as well, which is the way they write this is DDMMMYY. In other words, two digits for the date, three letters for the month, and two digits for the year. And this means that you'll get, for example, 10 SEP for September 19. And the reason we do this is because different people use different date order systems. So I grew up in the UK, and so I always put the date first and the month next. And so I can write 1/5 and know that that's the 1st of May. But then if Mark writes
it... The stupid columnists think that it should be that 1/5/2020, the 5th of January 2020, we would write that as 5/1.
Right.
Or no. You would write it as 5/1. I would write it as 1/5. And just for the record, most of our listeners are in the U.S., but we have listeners worldwide. Hey, folks, we're wrong, okay? The idea that month should come before day, the numeral date, is ludicrous in terms of the various value of things. Now, there's a case to be made for our case, but it's similar to the case that our calendars start on Sunday. And the rest of the world's calendars start on Monday because Saturday and Sunday are the weekend. But who knows? I suppose it just depends on your perspective.
It does.
Yeah, and I actually also like the fact that it shows letters for the month, partially for that reason, but also because when I'm looking at numbers, I engage with the numbers. But if I see SEP, that immediately gives me some context. And generally speaking, in most spreadsheets, the year can be assumed. So I don't worry about that. And of course, in the military, the way we were taught to write it is 05 March or 24 December and with three letters. So this feels very military to me, which harkens back many years ago. And I spent long enough looking at that stuff. It's like looking at an analog clock. I don't need to know. I don't actually really need to know what time it is. I need to know how much time I have. And the analog clock tells me that immediately without any math. Okay.
You might not think that you will ever find someone who does the date the other way, but there's also programmers always start with the year because then the numbers sort properly.
Yes.
So if you have the letters, there's never any, there's always clarity.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So the next thing surely is deadline.
Right. So what we're going to do is we are going to enter a checksum fake deadline in our template column. So in the header data, we have the word template, we have that other header data that we were going to put in, and then the very most important part of the header data is the deadline, either the deadline you're working to or the deadline you're working from. And so we've always talked about, until now, projects having deadlines that come from outside the deadline that the project is given. But in the template column, we don't have a deadline and we can't check our math without a deadline. So what we're going to do is put a fake one in.
No. In the template column, when you say we don't have a deadline, actually we do. But the template column is not a project that has its own deadline.
Exactly.
Is what you mean for people to take from what you said.
That's exactly
okay,
what you
say. Good. Okay, good.
So what we're going to do is make this really easy. Whenever we create this template column, we are going to put in whatever the date is of the day you're working on it. So you just put in today's date. If you are fancy, you can make Excel and Google do this and change the date so it's always right, but you don't have to do that. Just for now, just put today's date in.
Okay, easy.
Okay. So once we've got a deadline, we can start doing the math for the due dates. So we're going to look for the first row that has a task, and we are going to look at that row and where that row meets the template column.
Okay, so you're suggesting if cell E3 has the deadline, mm-hmm. which in your guidance would just be today's date, now you're saying about E4.
Exactly, E4.
Okay.
So in E4, we're going to work out the first task deadline, and the task deadline is the deadline minus or plus the offset.
Can I just interrupt there? Because I suspect, I could be wrong, that most people who are listening to this are thinking of the deadline as when a thing is going to be done, okay? And I think that would mean, you tell me if you disagree, that the majority of our listeners right now are thinking about tasks that are going to be due before the deadline, right?
Right.
And we're talking project deadline, not task deliverable deadlines, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So what we're going to be using is a minus system. I remember the first time, you know, when I was a kid and the moonshots took off and it was T minus, right? And it's weird. Or D minus for days, whatever. Okay, so we're going to be doing minus. You're technically right, Wendy, that you could do this in the future, plus days, or you could do it minus days. But I think it's going to be really hard for people if you continue to talk about it could be either plus or minus.
Right.
I think we should use a convention that is most likely, and in this case, I think it's minus. Mm-hmm. And we should say the deadline is the project being done, the delivery, whatever it is, and we're going to use minuses. And if you're someone who uses a deadline to mean the start of something and going forward, and you're going to use pluses, we're going to ask you to do that math yourself. I don't think we can continue the technique of talking about both without confusing everybody. Yes. Some of the time.
Okay.
So in other words, we've got the deadline, which is some date, which we've told you is to put in today's date. Okay. And for what we're about to describe, it will sound confusing, but you're saying for cell E4, okay, this is something that's going to be today's date minus a certain number of days.
Exactly. So if my project was due today, 10 days ago, I should have done X. So the offset is minus 10.
Okay. If you're talking about cell E4 right now, then you're saying that's first task in your project, in your example, you just mentioned 10 days, that the thing that was in cell D4, which is the first task, should have been done 10 days before the deadline exactly. to finish the project. Okay.
That's right. Exactly.
Got it.
Okay. So in order to do the math, it's pretty simple math. So that the deadline we've already decided is in E3, the template column, and the deadline row, which is E3. And then the offset, so that the number of days beforehand that it should have been done, is in column B, and the task is in row 4. So the offset for this task is in B4.
Yeah, now to be clear, you use an example of 10 days, but in the sample, in the spreadsheet, the image spreadsheet, for those of you who aren't licensees, our offset is minus 240.
Yes, I should have said that.
yeah, just to be clear, yeah. Okay? Don't get confused. Don't look for 10 in cell B4 in the sample because it's 240.
It is. So in cell E4, we're going to type the sum, which is, to do that on a spreadsheet, you type the equal sign and then an open parenthesis, E3, which is the deadline cell, plus B4, which is our offset cell, and then close parenthesis. And if you, like us, have put in today's date and minus 240, you should have a date that was about 9 months ago.
Okay.
And sometimes you'll find when you do this that instead of 9 months ago, it's 9 months in the future. And that probably means that you've got the wrong, you've got a plus where you should have a minus, or vice versa
in the offset column.
Yeah. And so because it's today's date, it means you can see it really easily. So now we've got that working well in E4, we are going to copy that formula all the way down the column for as long as we have tasks. But what we don't want to do is do a direct copy, because what happens if you copy just what we've just said, E3 plus B4, when you copy it to the next row, Excel or Google Sheets will add 1 to the numbers that you put in there. So it thinks, oh, if we're going a row down, then you must want everything to be a row down.
Yes, meaning not only B5, but also E4.
Right? Yes. Which messes us up, because all of our due dates need to be from the deadline. So the trick to stopping that happening is you put a dollar sign ahead of the part of the calculation that you don't want to change.
Which in this case is the 3 of E3.
Exactly.
And the B of B4.
Yes, yeah. Because the offset column, no matter how many columns of projects you've got, the offset column will always be in B. So to make it easy for yourself, just do that. If you go back to E4 and type the formula, the equal sign, open parenthesis, E, and then the dollar sign 3 plus dollar 4. Plus dollar B4, close parenthesis, and then copy it. It will copy perfectly.
Yes. And in fact, if you want to, once you highlight that cell, you'll see a little dot in the bottom right corner, at least in Excel. I don't know. I haven't pictured in Google Sheets in a long time. And if you click on that and drag it down, once you get your dollar signs in the right place, it will populate everything all at once. You don't have to copy and paste individually, right?
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You can just drag it down. It'll do the same thing. You can do the same thing on Google Sheets.
Yeah, okay, good.
That makes it nice and easier. Nice and easy. So once you have that row, that column of due dates, because the day is today, you can roughly know that if it was a due date that was 20 days ago and it's the 20th of April, then, the right number, the due date should be the 1st of April. So it's roughly. Nice and easy to check that you're getting it right. And some of the due dates will fall on days that you don't work. And we said this earlier, don't worry about it.
I agree. Don't.
Somebody did email us and say, you do know about the work day. And I said, yes, we do, but we're just keeping this simple.
Yeah. To be clear, guys, you say, oh, well, gosh, I want to finagle this so I don't have due dates on Saturday and Sunday. Look, let's not confuse the spreadsheet with the people doing the work. Let's not eliminate all human thought from this. If something is due on a Saturday, there will be weeks where somebody looks at that work and says, I'll do this today so that it'll show up as green on Monday. And there will be weeks where you're swamped and you'll come in and Monday there will be deliverables. Nobody expects that somebody would work on Saturday and Sunday on the due date of a thing to make sure you're not red on Monday. Although some people act as if being red is to be avoided at such great cost that your people are prepared to fib about it. That's not the point of being red. It's not punishment. It's an alert that more resources may be needed. But there are a couple of people have written in and say there's a formula that can calculate so you can avoid having things done on weekends. It's a pretty cool formula. Mm-hmm. We don't recommend you use it because things get complicated. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, the moment you do that, think about national holidays or countries that don't work on Saturday, that have Friday and Saturday as their weekend, or people that work shifts. It just gets really complicated really fast.
Yeah. Let's separate the tool that is helping us do our jobs from making it the tool's job.
Exactly.
Okay, that's the way to think
about
it.
You're going to have some brain power. And if you're really good with Excel math, then fill your boots.
Yeah, exactly.
As they say. Whatever the rest of 2020 brings, I can tell you one thing. You won't have your resume ready when you need it. Because nobody ever does. The best time to work on your resume is right now, when you don't need it. When you have enough time to go through your calendar and your email and remember all of your successes. When you have time to find all those annoying typos. So start now with the resume workbook. An up-to-date resume is something a professional always has ready because you never know when an opportunity will present itself. And it might even be disguised as a layoff. Go to the website, look for products in the menu bar and select resume workbook and be one of those people who actually has their resume ready when they need it. Okay, so the next thing we're going to do is the formatting. So if you've never had a spreadsheet like this, having the due dates magically appear is just going to blow your mind. But
it is. It does. It really does. I love Excel. I hate pivot tables. But this is just sexy. It's cool.
It is cool. So what we're going to do now is just blow your mind a bit more. We're going to do some conditional formatting. Basically, conditional formatting is you tell the spreadsheet, if this happens, do this. So, for example, if the date in this cell was a day ago, turn the cell red so I know I'm overdue. Okay? That's all it does. It's just an if-then clause.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
But we've got a bunch of conditions. We don't just want red. We want amber. We want green. We want to know when a cell is done and so on. So we are going to set a rule for each of these conditions. And we're going to put them in a certain order so that they work properly. So to do this, you start by highlighting all the cells with due dates. And then if you are in Excel, you do format conditional formatting. And the Google Sheets works slightly differently here. I think it's easier. But in Excel, you press a button, the plus sign on the pop-up, and then you choose classic, choose a formula. And in Google Sheets, you use format cells and then custom formula. But the formulas are the same, so that bit's easy. So if we'll do an easy one first. So if the deadline has passed, then if the task due date has passed, then the cell should be red. So the formula for this, we start in cell E5. No, we start in cell E4. I'm sorry,
right.
It should be E4.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where we started our calculations, and we write the equal sign E4, and then the smaller than sign, and then today, open parenthesis, close parenthesis. And what we're saying is, if the value in cell E5 is smaller than the value of today, in other words, it's older than, then turn this cell red. And then, so at the bottom, you choose custom format, and then you can say, fill it with red and give it black text.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Now, if you copy that formula, that conditional formula into all of the cells, it will work out that you actually
All the cells. You don't mean all. You mean in this particular cells. In the column.
Yes.
In this particular column, let's say we have one project here, right?
Exactly, yes.
So I'm going to copy that down, okay? And because I didn't put any dollar signs in the formula, it's going to copy all of that. And all those cells then are going to have that same logic applied to
exactly.
them.
Exactly. If this cell has a value that was less than today, make it red.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
If you did as Mark suggested, and we only have minuses in our offset, okay, things that should be done before the deadline, when you did this action, your whole deadline, your whole column, all of those due dates should have turned red because they were all before today.
Yes, they were 10 days ago, 9 days ago. In our example, we mentioned 240 days ago. And the deadline that we put in for the entire project was today. So everything would have been happening before that.
Exactly. So that's nice and easy.
Yeah, good.
So there are other ways to accomplish this in Excel and Google Sheets. They both do have some stuff that's already pre-programmed, but we are going to give you the formulas because then you can always do this. Even if they change it.
The other thing I found with pre-formatted stuff is that I don't exactly know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. If I do it myself, this is probably sounds kludgy to some of the more capable technical people there. But if I do it myself, I know what my error is.
Yes.
Whereas if I accept their formatting, I'm like, why is that not working? It should be working. They said it would work. Anyway. Okay, great.
Had that conversation with Sarah just last week.
Yeah.
Why isn't my conditional formatting working?
Okay, so what about the other conditional formats?
Okay, so if the task is due in 3 days in the future or more, we don't want to be alerted to that task. It's not due yet. We don't need to be thinking about it yet. So we're going to make it white.
Yeah, actually, you don't have to make it white, right? Or do you?
You do, yes, because otherwise your later formulas don't work. The conditional formatting.
Very good. Okay, good.
Yeah. So the formula for that is equals E4, then the greater than sign, today, and then the open parenthesis, close parenthesis, plus 3. So the cell E4 is greater than, the value in it is greater than the value of today, plus 3. If the task is due today, or in the next 3 days, we want to be alerted to it because we want to know that we're going to need to do it. We want to pay attention to it. So we're going to choose it to make it amber.
And by the way, guys, as you start thinking about this big picture, imagine 80 to 100 projects all sharing the similar task deliverable list against a particular deadline. What you're going to start seeing, as we see all the time in Cypress, it's live now. There's somebody in it in Cypress right now at Manager Tools as Wendy and I are recording. You'll see a sea of green as you start on the left. And as you scroll to the right and potentially down, at some point you'll reach a whole bunch of amber stuff, mm-hmm. right? And then the future stuff is not done, right? It's white. And then in there you'll see amber and then you'll also see red. And you can immediately know where you're supposed to spend your time.
Paying your attention, yeah.
Yeah. And the relational database people say, yeah, we can do that. And then they try to do it and they can't actually do it. So, okay. Sorry. Let's get back to it. So we've got white.
Mm-hmm. We've got red.
We've got red. What about amber? This gets harder.
Yes, this does get harder because what we're saying is if it's due today or the next 3 days. So the formula for amber, we're going to say it has two conditions and both of them have to be true in order for the cell to be amber. So we're going to start with the equal sign and then the word and, because the two conditions both have to be true, this and that. And the first condition, so you open a parenthesis, you write E4 is greater than or equal to today, open parenthesis, close parenthesis. So that's our first condition. And then a comma and then E4 is less than or equal to today, and then the open close parenthesis plus 3, and then you close the parenthesis for the whole column. So we're saying that the cell should have a value of today or any day up to today plus 3.
That's cool. Okay.
Okay. Red, we did. Okay. So the next one's easy. We want to, if we type done, as in the task is done in the cell, we want it to be green. So instead of a formula, you just choose format only cells that contain and then choose specific text. And then you just write the word done. And Excel will look for the letters. It doesn't mind whether they're capitals or lowercase. And you then in the section below, it says what formatting do you want? And you say turn it green with black text and magic.
Yeah. And for the record, it doesn't look only for done. It looks for done. If it finds done, it turns the cell green, even if there are other words in there.
Yes, exactly.
So the beauty of that is you could put done and then put a note visible to all
yes.
in there, or like the date you actually did it mm-hmm. to help you analyze after the fact.
Yeah. Subtasks are not applicable. So we want to do the same thing for not applicable as we did for done. Basically, we're just going to tell it, find cells that contain then specific text, and then put in N stroke A, which is what we write for not applicable. Again, you can write small letters or big letters, it doesn't matter. And then underneath, you tell it to turn green.
So here's an example. We do domestic conferences and international conferences. We have a list of tasks for every conference that includes international steps, like arranging customs for our shipments. Okay, that is not applicable for domestic conferences. It's easier for us to have the greater list of tasks that are around international conferences apply to all of our projects. So the formatting across all of our projects is the same. And this formatting gives us the ability to exempt some tasks that are true for a subset of the projects, but not all of the projects.
Right. But this is what allows you to use it for similar projects and
not exactly
the same. So all of those conditional formats work based on the date, the due date in the cell. And so if it's not obvious, because I skipped over it.
When you say due date in the cell, I don't want to confuse people. The cell doesn't have a due date that's behind the scenes. I think that's important to make clear. The cell has the due date in it. You can see it, right?
Yes. The math that you did earlier, when you copied and pasted that into all of the cells for that project, that column, for each of the rows that you have a task in, it will have filled in, the math will have converted to a date because we did that date thing earlier.
But if you have, again, if you have 100 projects and 100 tasks per project, that's 10,000 cells to look at. That sea of dates is impossible. The whole point of the genius of your conditional formatting is you don't have to read every single date for every single project, right?
It tells you where to pay attention, yeah. Right?
But you figured out a couple of years ago that there's a problem where people are human and they make mistakes and they overtype a date or they get a date wrong.
Exactly. Yes.
So what do we do about that?
So there's a couple of conditional formatting, these last two we're going to do, which are just designed to catch mistakes like that, where there should have been a due date, but there isn't.
Yeah,
so if the cell is empty, so there should have been a calculation, there should have been a due date, but it's not there, we're going to turn it red because then we pay attention. It highlights, hey, there's a problem here. To do that, you do the same set of actions for conditional formatting. When you get to choosing cell contains, instead of choosing specific text, you choose blank. In other words, if the cell is blank, then we tell it to format red.
Because remember, we've already told the program, write a date in there for the date that thing is due, which we're then applying the red, amber, green conditional formatting to. So if it's blank, that's a problem.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And then the other one is if the cell is not blank, but none of the other rules apply. So the rules say there should be a date, or it should say done, or it should say NA. They're the sort of three conditions which we expect having done all the work that we've done previously. If it's blank, that's a condition we don't expect. Also, if it's not blank and something else got typed in there accidentally, like somebody's typing a comment and they accidentally type it in the cell, or they, you know, weren't paying attention, they thought they were typing the email and they're still in the cell. So we want to catch those as well. So what you do is you do the same set of actions, and where you would have chosen blank, choose not blank, and then tell it to conditionally format as red.
So if it's blank, or if it doesn't have NA or a date, then it's going to show up as red, as a way of identifying attention has to be paid here. There may have been a date that's been deleted. There may have been the words done that was deleted. All kinds of things. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good.
So now we're able to see the tasks that are due soon, the amber ones, the ones that are overdue, and the ones that are finished as green. So, and if you're really confident with conditional formatting, you can do a lot more complicated things, but this is enough to start with. Now, one thing that goes a bit weird with conditional formatting is you have to tell it to do the steps in a certain order. Otherwise, sometimes you get them mixed up. I can't explain this in a good enough way, I can just tell you there might be a problem. And if you have a problem, reorder your rules so that you start with white and then go amber, green, and then red.
Okay.
I don't know why that works, but it seems to work every time.
Seems to work. Okay.
So now we have our work management spreadsheet fully completed and ready to go. So we're going to start a project. So to start a new project, all you do is copy column E into column F. So all of the contents
column of F.
E.
Foxtrot. We're copying from Echo into Foxtrot.
Yes, from our template into a new project column. And then we start at the top and start writing in all of our header data, put in the deadline. And because you copied from your template column, the math and the formatting will already be there. So the moment you put the deadline in, all your due dates for all of your tasks will appear and they'll be colored the right color.
Yeah. So one more thing, though, from the old wise guy in the room. When you do this, there are some of you are thinking, "Now, this probably won't work for me because I don't know exactly when those tasks are due. I've never done this before. I've got 50 tasks, but, you know, some of them plus or minus 3 days." Don't worry about that. Iterate on driving your project to a pretty solid list of stuff. Don't be afraid of putting a date down that is a rough idea, and then you'll discover that it was wrong, but now you're basing it on data rather than just on your feeling that I wouldn't want to lock myself down. Also, if you'll back off of this idea that red is bad and people are going to get in trouble and say red is a way to draw attention to things, do we need more resources? It's okay if something's a day or two off. All you're doing is deciding you're paying attention to it, which in many cases, projects, they just need a way for us to pay attention to them beyond the, hey, how are things going? Fine. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to use this because the math suggests some rigidity. We feel no rigidity. And of course, we're recording this during time of COVID-19. And we've got, it's bloody. Cyprus is bloody right now because we have all kinds of stuff that hypothetically should have been done, but we literally cannot do it. In fact, Cassie, who is our logistics associate, who's responsible for all of the support of all of our client gigs and all of our public conferences, it makes her, she admits to having anxiety when she goes to bed, when she gets up in the morning, because it's just red, and it wasn't red a month ago. But don't worry about it being red. Worry about getting enough data so that you can fine-tune your project. And to identify, the purpose of this is to identify where you should be focusing, not identifying failures, because they're not necessarily failures.
In fact, we've just, since we started recording this, we have created a new offering of digital delivery, live training over the internet. And we had to create a new sheet for Cyprus. And we started using it this morning with the knowledge that there's probably 20 tasks missing and 20 tasks that
absolutely
don't apply.
So. And we'll do a hot wash or an after action report and we'll tighten it up. And after three or four, we'll be smooth as silk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about how to use it.
Yeah. So in the morning, whenever you open your spreadsheet, you look at the tasks that are amber, and you decide whether you're going to do that task today or tomorrow or the next day, since you've had 3 days. And when you've done a task, in the cell where the due date is, you type the word done. And when you type the word done, the cell will turn green.
All right. So you're typing done. You're obliterating the date?
It depends what you want to do with it afterwards. What we do is write done and then a dash and the date the task was actually done. So that we can go back later and have a look at, okay, this is what we estimated, or this is when we said it should be done versus this was when it was actually done. If there's only you working on it, then you probably don't need to do that. If there's lots of people, the more people that are working on it, the more important that gets, and the more cells you have, the more projects you have, the more tasks.
Yeah, I generally err, if I'm going to get somebody to go into that cell and type in done, I'm going to want them to put the date it was done. I actually think in an ideal world, we'd put done and then the date it was done before the actual date that was in there before.
Yeah.
So we can look for potential. Yeah, this one's always done 3 days early. We should move that task up because on that particular date of a particular project, five things are due. And this one always seems to be done early. Why don't we move it up? But that may be too much data for a lot of you, and that's okay. I'd understand that.
And then the only other thing is, if the task is due to be done, but you look at the task and think, this isn't a task that applies to this project, if you're using it for multiple projects, then you write NA, and then it will still turn green, so you'll know not to go back to that task.
Okay, good.
So in order to make the spreadsheet work, we have to have some rules of use, rules of the road, as it were. If there's only you using it, you probably don't need this. But they
Can I go back, Wendy? I would actually, you say, in order to make this work, we need some rules. I actually don't think that's accurate. I think what you mean to say is we have learned using this over the last several years with tens, maybe even now, let's fair to say, hundreds of thousands of tasks being done, we've learned some rules of thumb that would be helpful.
Yes.
Right?
That's what I should say.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You do not need and must and require, but hey, take it from us. We've been doing this for a long while now. We've got data to support these conclusions, and maybe you need to and as I've been saying, some of these are about how you view spreadsheets and status, red, amber, green, and so on.
Right. So rule number one, suggestion number one, is red means I need help, not I did something wrong. This is the most important one to me, because if a red task on the spreadsheet means punishment, you will soon find yourself with a spreadsheet full of green tasks and no work done. Even if it's yourself, you tend to check things off so that your spreadsheet can look nice. So if the red cells mean that the person responsible is in trouble, then task owners will seek to avoid the punishment and make their cells green by any kind of twisted logic. If you ask them, you know, how come you've marked that green and I can see you haven't done it, they'll have some kind of logic that makes it so.
Yeah, it's unfortunately for them, it's refutable logic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Good.
Okay. So the question is, why are we red and how can we fix it? Not, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and that means as a manager, we set the tone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why are we red? How can we fix it? Remember, I need help, not I did something wrong. And by the way, if your thought is my job is not to help you, get out of management, would you? Okay, rule number two. What is it?
Rule number two. If you have a task, you must use the spreadsheet. So everyone who has a task on the spreadsheet has to use the spreadsheet in order to do the recording of that task being done. Even if they have some tracking system, some task manager system somewhere else, they have to mark the task done on the spreadsheet when it's done. Otherwise, the spreadsheet soon becomes useless because the data on it isn't correct. So the moment you don't use the spreadsheet, it starts to decay and then it's not right. And then people don't use it because it's not right. And it's a kind of, it's an ever downward spiral.
And I'll tell you, folks, I've been joking about this for years. And I pick on our friends who are software developers who, when you tell them they need to comment their code and need to update the spreadsheet or whatever, by the way, this is less prevalent than it used to be thanks to the wonders of Agile and Scrum. But they say, you tell them, hey, you need to comment. And they say, well, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to do my work or do you want me to report on it? And of course, the joke is, the answer is yes, meaning, yeah, you got to do both. And if you don't want to do both, go work at some, in fact, go to work for one of our competitors. I want you over there doing great work that you don't tell anybody about and that people have to track you down and you don't comment your code so that when crap comes up that makes it not work, they won't be able to fix it because you're too much of a prima donna to do what every other person in every organization that's reasonably effective in the world knows, which is your work in a vacuum is worthless. Okay. The only work that matters is work that can be paired with other people's work to deliver value outside of the company, because all results in all organizations only exist outside of the company. And you are not the company all by yourself. I got to tell you something, folks, if you're ever interviewing somebody and they suggest that they're not a good communicator or they don't see the value of communicating or they're a private genius, don't hire them. Sorry. Yes. Yeah, you'll miss the Einsteins of the world, although Einstein actually was a pretty good communicator, but it'll save you a great deal of pain and suffering. Okay, rule number three.
You must review the spreadsheet daily. So this is the This is the same thing. We have Cypress set up so that it sends us an email of our red and orange tasks daily so that we can see this. And it provides a checklist for the people that are doing the task and an overview for Mark and Mike. But, you know, the aim is to have a short email, so very few red and orange tasks, and that the red ones have a comment on them because we've said why they're red. And it won't happen initially because we're all human, and part of the managing of projects is managing the fact that we're all human. But if you don't have the using the spreadsheet as a daily routine, you get to that, you know, if the data's not right, people don't use it, you get that downward spiral. So just make it part of the routine and it will work.
Yeah, good. Okay, rule four.
When the task is done, you have to mark it as done, which is, you know,
this goes back to my earlier comment,
reporting,
right?
Thing. Exactly. It's not done if you didn't write done in there, because
you get a call from your boss and says, well, they said, well, how come I did that? No, you didn't. Yeah, I did. I called the guy. No, I'm actually not paying you to call the guy. I'm paying you to make a truthful statement that you did. Right?
Yeah.
It's, your job is not only doing the thing, but telling other people that the thing is done. Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, don't let people off the hook about this. Don't let them roll their eyes in front of you and say, dude, this is a lesson. You're 25, as an example. You're 25. You don't know this yet. We're all connected. You can't sing kumbaya with all your people. We're all a connected universe ecosystem of joy and love and so on, and then do your work and not tell other people the work is done. Otherwise, you're not part of the ecosystem. You're not part of the human chain. You're not part of the value connection around here. You're just off on an island somewhere. And no man is an island.
Yeah, sadly, we all have to work with other people and ourselves.
Sadly, I've spoken like a true ID. Folks, if you don't know Wendy, there you go. That sums up Wendy right there.
The last rule is an overdue task must have a note attached with details. So if a note, on the spreadsheet, if you right click on a spreadsheet, you can add a note or a comment. And we encourage you to require a note on any task that's red. So if you're a manager, when you see a red task, you can go to the note and see what's going on. Why is it red? What's happening? What's the plan to resolve it?
And you don't need to be calling about 20 different things. And it's really helpful to have the note and to have a date. So, hey, 3 days ago, I reached out to this guy and he hasn't gotten it yet. Okay. You know, if Wendy says that something was due 5 days ago, and I see three times since then she's reached out to the person who's not giving her the thing. If I know Wendy, I trust Wendy, I'm going to call the guy. Hey, where's my stuff? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. No. Wendy owes this. Now, if you don't know it, we have a podcast called Owning the Inputs. Wendy's still responsible for the task. But if I'm there to help as her boss, I'm going to call the guy and say, can't you help Wendy out? Help a sister out.
And if you're just using the spreadsheet yourself, it's super helpful to leave notes to self when you're waiting for someone else or totally to agree. Remind you how far you've got. And the older you get, the more you'll need it. Just trust us.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, then you've got the next piece of guidance is schedule a hot wash, one of my favorite things in the world.
Exactly. So you want
one of my all-time favorite casts.
There's a guarantee with projects and repeating projects is the first one won't be like the last one. The next one won't be like the last one. Everything changes all the time and change is the only constant and all of that. So in order to make sure that Cypress or your work management spreadsheet keeps up with the changes that are happening in your business and therefore remains useful, you have to change the tasks and the dates periodically. So schedule a hot wash meeting quarterly, and that allows you can look at the header data, the task order, the offset dates, the comments, how you're using it, and think, do changes need to be made? Do we need to change the wording? Do we need to change how long this takes? All of that stuff. Unless you have a significant error when you're in the 3 months between the meetings, don't just change things, because when you change things, you can't compare them and it starts to mess up your data. So you want to do, unless there's something that's causing a huge problem, try and only make changes in the quarterly period, so at the quarterly end.
Okay. Repeating projects. This is our bread and butter.
Exactly. So up till now, mostly we've been talking about just doing one project on the work management system. But when it really comes to shine is when you have lots of similar projects. And so then you can have lots of projects in your columns and you can see all the greens, all the oranges for all of the different projects. No matter whether you're on task one or task 21, you can see what it is. For example, we use Cypress for conferences, and conferences are projects that have different targets or goals or different deadlines, but the same or similar tasks, and they repeat over and over and over again. So that's the kind of project that is perfect for a work management system. And we'd recommend that you work all the way through one project before you start adding a whole bunch, because you just need to get through it and make sure that you've not forgotten anything and the dates. When you're making changes, it's easier if you've still only got one project. But when you're ready, all you do is copy the template column, column E, copy it to the next free column, start putting in your header data, and there you go. You've got the next project.
Huh. You know, when we started this, I never dreamed that we would share something internal. I think a lot of people compare our guidance to what other people who are doing similar things to what we do, leadership, management, professional stuff. And my experience is almost everyone else, in fact, virtually everyone else, is basically extrapolating from their own experience and suggesting this is what you do. In our case, we don't do that. We're gathering data about what people do and figuring out which is most effective and teaching you that. So sometimes I think people ask me questions when I'm presenting or when I'm with clients. Well, how did you learn this stuff? And I say, I didn't learn any of it. And so I have a patented line, not patented, but a pretty standard line I use. I tell people, we don't teach what I do. I do what we teach. In other words, these aren't my ideas. We were able to figure out what works in the world, broadly speaking. This is only the second time, as this podcast is coming out, only the second time we've ever talked about internal stuff. And interestingly enough, the first time was about 2 weeks ago, where we shared our internal process for cutting costs in light of what we believe to be the coming economic hangover associated with COVID-19, to try to give some folks some meat to hang on to, as opposed to just exhorting people, cut now, cut hard, cut deep. So this is really pretty rare, but I consider to be Cypress the single most important spreadsheet I've ever worked with in my life. And I've worked with a lot of spreadsheets. Well, good. Can you summarize?
Yeah. Having a Cypress for your work will change your life for the better. Yes. Thanks to my guarantee, my personal guarantee, you can come after me. It helps you track and prioritize the work that you need to do. And when you use it with a team, you get so much more communication. And my line is, there has never been an employee survey where people said, please give me less communication.
Yeah. Exactly. I would even go a step further. We didn't even mention it, but as a standard part of our weekly operations meeting, which every person in the company attends, the person who is responsible for Cypress, in this case, I mentioned Cassie, our logistics associate, she briefs on Cypress. We go over client conferences and public conferences, and we review all the tasks, particularly paying attention to the late ones and whether or not there needs to be a strategic intervention, which lately there has been because of COVID-19's disruption to our fairly significant disruption to our business model. And to go a step further, we not only use Cypress for podcast for clients and for public conferences, we have a version of Cypress called Spyglass, which we use for all of the Manager Tools and Career Tools casts. Producing them, recording them, putting all the sound files together, and publishing them on the website and getting them in the RSS feeds. And it has a different set of tasks, a much shorter set, right, Wendy?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's
probably only 25, maybe?
Yeah, 25, and 30.
For each podcast. But I can see where I am for every podcast I owe the community. Yeah, it's a fabulous thing and a tip of the hat to Wendy for two reasons. One, for building the original one, and two, for soldiering through a podcast that relied on her greatest weakness, which, if you haven't figured it out yet, she refers to as maths, which is how the British refer to mathematics, because mathematics has an S on the end. How we Americans ever got rid of that S on the end, I don't know.
Yeah.
The damn columnist. colonists.
Only second to my weakness in describing maps.
Yeah, well, we all have our burdens.
We do.
Now, that was fun. It's long, but it was fun. Wendy, thank you.
Yeah, I hope it was helpful for everybody.